could say thank you, but don't, because they have to cue you. So you wait. And then they ask you, what do you say? And you say, thank you. And then we move on. Then you get to play. You don't get to play until that. But after that, you get to play. So, Thanksgiving message, title, what do you say? What do you say? I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 5, reading out of the NIV, and I'm going to take a passage out of the message as well. But out of the NIV, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 4. Track with me here on this. This is, I find super interesting. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper, kindly stated, right? These are improper for God's holy people. And it goes on. Nor should there be obscenity, or foolish talk, or coarse joking. Before he said improper, but now he says these are out of place. So let me just recap. He says, okay, so sexual immorality, impurity, any kind of impurity, greed, those are just improper. Like they just don't fit. They don't fit God's holy people. And there shouldn't be obscenity or just foolish talk or coarse joking. It's like those are just out of place. So we don't want to do that. But then he says, finishes up with, but rather, thanksgiving. What do you say? Right? So in all of this space of living, paying attention to what we say. And there's a lot of things that we shouldn't say. We can say them, but here's the deal. They don't fit us if we're changed. They don't fit us. It's improper, as he would say. It just doesn't fit. The coarseness and the crudeness and not even just immorality, just the whole mix. He's like, it's just not a good version of you. It's just not a good fit. I've said that to my kids periodically. I'm like, it's just not a good look for you. like grumpy face or whatever that is. I'm like, it's just not a good look for you, right? There are other ways you look better than that. That's not a good look for you. So that's what's being said here. And instead of all of that, whatever all that is, it just says, but rather, thanksgiving. Rather, be thankful. Now, I like to make things as simple as possible. I like to operationalize things in as simple a way as possible. I don't want to remember the list of impurity and immorality and vices and obscenities and crude joking. Oh, don't forget jesting. We can't do foolish jesting. Don't forget that. But I don't want to do all that. Did you know that you can't say good and bad at the same time? I'm sure I've done this in here with you before. I've certainly done it in many of the classes that I've taught. You want to try? Let's do it. Ready? We're going to say good, bad. You look ready, Bo. You look like you're like chomping at it. You're like, he's like, bring it. Bring some. Good and bad at the same time. You cannot say good and bad at the same time. Ready? Let's give it a try. Ready? On three. One, two, three. People are like this. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. People are like, good bed. Good bed. Like, that's still not the same time, right? Like, there's a little of a bit of a window, right? High-speed film caught it. There's a space. Good bed. Good bed. Gad. People are saying gad. You know, no, that's not it, right? You can't say good and bad at the same time. So I can work on, hear me, let me pass to you for a minute. I can work on getting rid of all the bad, but man, that's a lot of work and a waste of time. I'm not new to this pastor game. doesn't work. Just trying to rid yourself of the bad, it's not going to win the day. But you fall in love with the good, a strong yes will give you the strongest no you've ever had. A strong yes. What do you say? A strong yes to Thanksgiving. You won't have to memorize the list of immorality and impurity and obscenity and jesting and all. Just say thanks. Just let the words that come out be gratitude and thanks. Last night, I took a guy to regional hospital. I got a call at the house. I was sitting around living room with the kids, got a call to the house. There was a fella that I'm working with that his father was heading to regional with congestive heart failure. He wanted to go see him, and I needed to be the guy to help him get there. So I loaded up and went and got him and weren't even sure about the protocols and COVID and such and all those things, and we're getting approvals all the way there and checking with the hospital and all these things, and we're transiting there to see. Well, we got there quicker than the ambulance got there. And so we sat in the parking lot of Regional Hospital right outside the emergency room. We sat there 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Ambulance comes up, and his dad's taken out, and the guy hops out, and he sees him right there and speaks to him real briefly, and he goes in that side door. The gentleman runs around into the front in the emergency room, and he's in now. He's in the hospital, and then his son comes, and he hasn't seen his son, given his current situation. He hasn't seen his son in quite a while, and gives his boy a huge hug, and they're both masked, but gives him a huge hug, and he's standing there in the parking lot hugging each other. And he comes back into the car, and he said, he's going to keep me posted. I know, and we already talked about it. He said, I know that coming into this hospital, COVID protocols, I'll be on isolation for a couple of days. I know that. And maybe if I don't go in there, that won't happen. So I did some checking, and well, it happened. So he's isolated for a couple of days for the safety of the house in which he lives. But we were driving back, and he wanted to see his dad. And on the way there, that's all that mattered. And on the way home, in fact, we were driving right by the church having the conversation. He was bumming about having to go into isolation for 2 days. I said, got to see your dad. That's good, right? Are you happy that you want? He goes, yeah, I wanted to do that. And you got to hug your son. He goes, oh, that was worth it all. I haven't gotten to hug my son. I said, it's kind of lousy that you've got to do this COVID thing for a couple of days. I said, you can be angry. I get that. Or you could be grateful. I said, in the clinical world, we just call that a reframe. You look at it this way, or you can look at it that way. And he said this to me, which I thought was great. He said, you know, I think I probably would have gotten there ultimately. Thanks for reminding me of that. Because I would have been mad for quite a while before I got there. I said, yeah, man. I said, that's coming from my life. You have situations that are difficult, challenges, loss. Got a couple options. I can be angry about it, or I can recognize, well, I did get to see my boy. I did get to speak to my dad. Is it costing me a little something? Is it a little inconvenient? Am I happy about all these other things? Not so much. But the one that changes is me. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 4, same passage in the Message. Watch what God does. And then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Proper behavior. What do you say? Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. This is a learning thing. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Verse 3. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, bullying, greed, right? Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses safer language than that. It's a very kind way to put it, right? Don't talk dirty. Don't talk silly. That kind of talk just doesn't fit our style. And then he closes with this. Thanksgiving is our dialect. What a cool phrase. Just leave that up there. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Now, what is a dialect? A dialect is language that is distinct to a particular region or a particular culture. So let me give you an example. If you live up north, you say, hello. If you live down south, you might say, howdy. Right? Hello or howdy. That's an example of dialect. If Emma were here, in here, it annoys her because I'll be walking around and somebody will say, hey, how you doing? Howdy. And she's like, well, Dad, how you doing? You know, like I'm got my guns and all that. I just say howdy, you know? Howdy. Let me give you another example. You all is how they would say it in Ohio. Y'all is how they'd say it in Mississippi. And you's guys is how they'd say it in Rhode Island, right? Hey, you's guys, come here. That, right? Yeah. Or y'all, what's up y'all today? That whole thing, right? Got that whole deal going. Dialect identifies us with a region. Identifies us with a place. Identifies us with a culture. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Thanksgiving is the thing, Paul says, that helps people see where we're from. Several years ago, I was driving a van full of high school students from Baltimore to Terre Haute. It was, in fact, the first trip that we made. We were pastoring out in Maryland, and the first trip we made connected with Simeon and Sonia, and we were coming to Identity Camp. So if you've been here for several years, maybe 7, 8, 10 years, you'll remember this Identity Camp. It was out by West Vigo, right? The school out there, right? So the campground out there, they called it Ileana, that whole thing, for years, right? It had all that. So we were bringing a bunch of kids out. So I'm on the phone. I'm driving a van of kids, and I'm talking to a guy. Now, there was a senior in high school sitting behind me. Her name was Kelly. And Kelly was in the front seat and on this, you know, 17-hour drive, whatever. I'm trucking along, and I'm talking to a Texas State Trooper on the phone who went to a church of a buddy of mine in Texas. He was having some issues in his life, some marriage stuff, some substance issues, and so I was talking with him on the phone. She could not hear him at all. She could only hear my side of the conversation. So as we're talking and driving along, talk to him, I don't know, 40 minutes or something, hour maybe, hung up, she says, she called me Brother Smith, that was just the culture where we were. She's like, hey, Brother Smith, was that person you were talking to from the South? I looked back and I'm like, yes, from Texas. How did you know that? She said, because as soon as you started talking to him, you got this Southern country boy drawl thing going on. Hey, Bo, what's up? You got that whole thing kicked into that whole thing she could hear. I match dialect with dialect. It's where I'm from. When I was in the Navy, the first few months of basic, I did thousands of push-ups. And I knew all of my stuff. They'd ask me a question. And I'd answer, and they'd say, drop, Smith. I'm like, what? That was the right answer, and I'm driving doing push-ups. Hundreds and hundreds of push-ups. And one day, I came in, and my roommate was in the room, and I just gotten a reaming from some guy. And I walked in the room, I'm like, man, what is the deal? My buddy, he's from Coronado, San Diego in California. He's sitting there. He's like, Smitty, you're a country bumpkin. That's what he said. I'm like, what? He said, well, people ask you a question, and you say, yes, sir. And they think you're cocky and arrogant, and they drop you for push-ups. I'm like, really? Because my shoulders are getting tired. He said, really? You're just a country bumpkin, man. And they take it as different dialect. So I promise you, here's what I did. This is absolutely no joke. I started making it one single word. What? Yes, sir. It was yes, sir. Y-E-S-S-I-R. Yes, sir. And I would practice. Yeah, I'm not joking. Practice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. And all of a sudden, I became amazing. Like, no more push-ups. Unbelievable. Dialect. The difference in what I say. My niece is 41 years old today. I think of a story of her when she grew up in Southern Illinois and went out to L.A. She was living in L.A. for a while, and she was a waitress. And she said and told me, my brother would say it, time after time, people would look at her and they'd say, you're not from around here, are you? What do you say? That's a statement we should be getting. Come on up, Arnick. That's a statement we should be hearing. You're not from around here, are you? Because my language betrays me. We think of that in the context of Peter when they looked at him. You say you're not with him, but your language betrays you. Can we flip that script and let it be true that they do know I'm with him because my language betrays me? But it's not a language of, hey, want to come to church? Hey, reading your Bible? Hey, you need to be doing, and you need to be doing, and you need to be doing that. That's not the language that betrays us. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Thanksgiving. I was singing this song. Pull a little Andre Crouch. Come on now. Where's your daddy? He would be up here with me, wouldn't he? That's probably why he's not here. He says, thank God for the mountains. Thank him for the valleys. Thank him for the storms he's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. Of course, through it all, right? Isn't that it? Through it all. You can sing with me. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Walking around the office this morning here, I was just singing, I thank him for the mountains, thank him for the valleys, thank him for the storms he's brought me through. That's everything. Mountains, valleys, storms, sunny days, I thank him. Whatever you think makes you a standout Christian, none of it's as powerful. Is thanking God in everything. Bo, throw that up there. Thessalonians 5. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks. In everything. In everything. And I'm not talking about faking it. I'm talking about actually connecting with something so transcendent that I know circumstances are not the measure for me. The measure is His faithfulness. The measure is His goodness. God is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Therefore, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Amen. And His courts with praise. I will be thankful unto Him. And I will bless His name. Because those are constant when all things change. In the Message, it reads like this. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. What do you say? Thank God no matter what happens, because this is the way God wants. Now, you who belong to Jesus Christ. That's the way He wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. And we can have lists. Many of us have religious heritage that is just lists. Lots of lists. You can look at this as a book of lists. Or you can say, love God, love your neighbor, and be thankful. Let's see, leave anything out? What do you say? Love God, love your neighbor, be thankful. I'm going to close here with this. Several years ago, before Melinda and I had children, we did a lot of ministry with a church in New York City. And there were a pair of twin boys. They grew up in Flushing, if you're familiar with the more difficult parts of New York. And we would visit their home, and I honestly think the apartment was maybe the size of this platform, but the platform might be too big. And it was two boys, and they shared a room. Their dad didn't live there, and their mom slept on the couch. And it was couch, kitchen, bathroom, bed. It was the most diverse ethnic moment I've ever had in my life, going up that elevator. These two guys, good guys, involved in ministry, our age, we were friends, went way back. Their mother was driving one day, hit a telephone pole. I don't recall what happened, that she lost consciousness and then hit the pole. Pole hit the car. Not good. We were in critical care. We lived in Baltimore. We drove to New York to be with our friends. When I walked in the room and saw Hermana Carmen, is what we called her, when I saw Carmen, I almost passed out. She was this tiny, frail, 100 pounds, maybe. She looked like she was 280 pounds laying on the table. It was unbelievable what her body's reaction to it. It was difficult. It was a very difficult situation. Not sure, brain damage, right? Hadn't breathed for a while, oxygen depleted, all that. Just dropped bad, and that's what was going on. And she was in the room, and only a couple at a time, and we'd go in. We were in this waiting area, and literally there was like a half a space here with seats, and just like this, half a space here with seats. And apparently there was someone else in the hospital in critical care. And Harold and Robert, that's the boys, they had people from their church, and we'd ministered in their church quite a bit, so we knew all these folks. We were kind of family for them, right? So we were just all right there together. And it seemed like a lot of the family members of this other person in difficult situation was over here. It was a situation I thought of this morning in the context of this message. It was night and day. It was Goshen and Egypt. It was a situation that as I sat there, as I sat in that room for hours and heard the cussing and the yelling and the anger and the fighting and the infighting and the slamming and all the things that were going on over there. And I sat here and I looked at that, and then I looked over here at my friends, and they were calmly praying and trusting and believing. And they weren't talking any louder than I'm talking to you right now. And there was comfort, and there was support, and there was care. Came to my mind today. Came to my mind today the differences of knowing Him. I didn't go interview those people. I don't have any idea what their deal was. But those two groups of people were coming at probably a very similar situation from a completely different region. They were coming at it from a completely different place. What do you say? This is going to be a decision. Just like Dolly told PJ, she said, so you just stand there and you wait. And then mom's going to come up and she's going to say, what do you say? And then you say, thank you. It's a decision. And I think we're familiar with this. I think we know this. Some of us have made decisions in time of joy and celebration for situations that we thought down the road might be a little sketchy. Better or worse, richer, poorer, sickness, health. In fact, folks usually stand right here and make those decisions of how they're going to be. We make decisions when it's good, so we're going to have the right language when it's not so easy. So what's going on in your life right now? What's going on? Where do you find yourself? Here's what I know. Someone told me they ran this little experiment. They picked 10 people, sent them a card, said, hey, praying for you. I know it's tough right now. And that's all he sent. And 10 people wrote back, said, oh my God, how did you know? And like... That's just, we're all in those spaces, right? We all have things in our life that matter to us, and they're challenging for us, and they're hard. What is your everything? In everything, give thanks. What is your everything right now? In everything, give thanks. In all situations, give thanks. What is your all situation right now? What is it? And can you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Can you stand with me? And can we have a moment here, everybody, at whatever level you're comfortable with this? Can we have a moment where we do it? Where we do give thanks? We make a decision. We say, you know what? I'm thankful. Thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. And if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know He could solve them, and all that's super cute. But let's make it real. Right now, you have an opportunity right now. And maybe it's something you already do, but I know how hard it is. Because it's hard. It's just hard. And today, we make a decision. And when that thing is happening in our life, you hear my annoying voice. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? So however that may be for you. And listen, I'm asking you. I'm encouraging you. While we're in this very sacred space, would you pick the hard thing? Please? Come on, Pastor, you for a quick second here. Would you pick the hard thing? Don't do the easy one now and try to do the hard thing later. Data shows that doesn't happen. Would you trust the Spirit of the Lord that you sense right now and pick the hard thing right now? Pick the hard thing right now. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let that wash over you all over this place. Just begin to do that all over this place. However that is. Thank you, Lord. This is the hard thing. But I know you're constant. However it comes out of you, I trust in your faithfulness. I trust in your presence. I trust in your deliverance. I trust in your hand. In the season, I say thank you. The person that's difficult, but we love them so much. Thank you that I can love them so much. In all the challenge, in all the struggle, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for trusting me in this space. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Let the Spirit of the Lord change your language.
Through it all.
Let thanksgiving be your dialect.
Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word.
When you're in the situation, it may be very difficult to be thankful for that thing, but you can be thankful in that space. You can be thankful that you're saved, that you're free, that you're redeemed, that His presence is near, that you don't walk alone. Whatever the situation is, I am thankful that I don't walk alone. I'm not left out there by myself.